Welcome to Securing the Post-Perimeter World, an industry forum presented by Lookout. The first panel in our series, Work Without Walls, The Price of Productivity in a Post-Perimeter World, was recorded in front of a live audience in San Francisco on April 9, 2019. Our panel tackled the problem of how to keep organizations secure while continuing to respect employee privacy without hindering their productivity.
Thank you all for coming. Linda, thank you for having me. Why don't we start? Well, first of all, obviously this talk is about the post-perimeter world, and I think we're going to get into that. But I think the logical place to start here is by introducing the panelists, which I'm going to let them do on their own. They're going to be able to do this better than me. But Mike, please introduce yourself to people.
Sure. So, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like I'm Mike, that's me. So, Mike Murray, I'm the Chief Security Officer of Lookout. I've been in security my whole career. That's pretty much all I've ever done. And actually, just really excited to be on a panel with all these folks.
Jack, please, yeah, let's get on the line.
Sure thing. So, I'm Jack Madden. I write for TechTarget, and I've been covering enterprise mobility management. That's been my core area, along with identity management and security as that's expanded. Since about 2011, since we were first asking, what do we do about these pesky tablets and mobile devices that are coming into our enterprise. I'd also like to, there was some debate about whether or not I should start off this way, but I'd like to mention that I'm the only person on the panel that doesn't work for a vendor. My day job is as an independent journalist.
I'm Andrew Levy. I'm a Senior Director of Product at VMware. I lead our analytics for Workspace ONE, called Workspace ONE Intelligence. Workspace ONE is our device management, management platform. I've been there almost 2 years. Previously, I was the co-founder of a company called AppTelligent at VMware TechPartner.
And I'm Brad Mitter. I work for Google. I'm a product lead for our Google Endpoint Management efforts. That's part of our product called Cloud Identity. So Cloud Identity product, that's for managing users, devices, and applications in cloud. And it's standalone, and it's also part of the G Suite, so you might be familiar with us if you're a G Suite user.
All right, great. So I think the obvious juxtaposition here is the way the world used to be versus the way the world is today. The way the world used to be is all of your resources, all of your people, all of your devices back neatly into an office, and you defend that perimeter. And obviously, the entire point here is that is not the way the world exists today. Your users, your employees want to be able to connect from any device at any time, at any location, and be able to work that way. And that obviously creates a ton of technical security problems, challenges, a ton of interesting privacy challenges, legal challenges. I actually think that there's even more layers than we're going to be able to get into in this conversation, because it also creates a weird challenge to your sanity when you're not able to unplug from work, and UIOD contributes to that. But that's probably for a panel of psychologists or something, and we'll get into that later. I think, like everyone here, this topic hits personally, because who's not a BYOD worker? I mean, I don't know anyone who isn't. And at this point, I just started a new job a couple of months ago. And on my computer now, I have a ton of software that's branded as cybersecurity, but feels an awful lot like spyware. And it leads me to go use some other device to do my work. And I don't think I'm really alone in making that jump and feeling like I can't trust this device that's been given to me by my employer, and therefore I'm going to do it on a device that I control and that I, for better or worse, trust. So, some statistics to kind of lay the groundwork before we start the conversation. I think with Lookout here, it's only natural to talk about, the fact that most companies are, first of all, 85% of companies in the U.S. are embracing BYOD in one way or another. Most companies believe that the threats against mobile devices are increasing, which I'm pretty sure, Mike would agree with that as well. But a slim minority believe that they are confident in their defense of mobile devices, which is troubling when you combine all those trends together. I think that there are a lot of I went hunting for some statistics and surveys that can really lay the groundwork for this conversation. There's talk about, you know, does this increase productivity? What does it do for cost? And a lot of those things, a lot of the way those things were reported were seemed subjective, oftentimes contradictory. So what I want to do is give these folks who work in the field, and Jack, who's been in the field since forever, it seems like, a chance to give their own impression on those topics. So with that, let's launch into the conversation. And just by way of format, I'm gonna, most of the time I'm gonna be saying, you know, pointing to a person and starting a conversation that way. So Mike, what's your favorite food? Pizza. But Jack, feel free to then jump in and tell me it's Vietnamese food. Just do it politely and we can have a conversation that way. It's not meant to be, you know, I only point. It's a conversation. So Mike, let's start the conversation here. Talking about, from your perspective, what the single biggest security risk enterprises are seeing as workers move outside the perimeter.
Sure. Great question. So I'm gonna go counterintuitive. I think the biggest security risk that organizations are facing, and most organizations haven't woken up to it yet, is that out from underneath us all, in the last 5 years, we have changed almost completely the platform on which we do end-user computing. You know, if I think back to 10 years ago, the majority of your enterprise connections were from a Windows device in some way. You'd have like 1% of your devices that were Mac, and you might have one or two weird people who had a Palm Pilot that would connect to your corporate infrastructure. I was that weird person, by the way. And now, when I talk to our customers, they're telling me 75% of the logins to their Active Directory are through either iOS or Android. We have completely changed the platform strategy without really being intentional about it from a security perspective. So every CISO I know gets the majority of their intelligence on their environment from their endpoints, right? The majority of what is in your detection and response, your security event manager, your SIM, whatever you want to call that thing that you use to protect your environment, it gets most of its data from the software you put on the endpoints, the software that's watching it, basically. And so if you've got, you know, 5 years ago, 100% of your devices reporting and giving you intelligence, and now 75% of the things that are connected to your corporate environment don't give you intelligence, you went from a really good understanding of what's happening to being blind. And I think it's the lack of understanding of that, and it's the lack of awareness of that pattern that's really probably the biggest risk. Jack, did you want to
take it? You're speaking my language, and this was something in 2011 and 2012, we used to go around doing these, we call them the consumerization of IT seminars, and one of the biggest concepts that we talked about is that a lot of times, especially in the beginning, all this stuff was happening in some cases without IT even knowing about it, because you know you might say, oh well, I won't, any device that gets on my network, I'll know about it. But it's you know, the early part of the decade is bringing in MiFi cards for the first time, and if a document is created in Gmail or in Dropbox, and you know, just I'm just mentioning big SaaS providers, but if they're if data is created somewhere and it's on that mobile device that is even hitting your network, how do you even know about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you said the word layers, and I think that's part of the key is you have applications, devices, identity, data, the network, and there isn't a single perimeter, there isn't a single solution or a single node to build on. And, you know, at the end of the day, employees, they want the best experience, you know, InfoSec, at times can, you know, be at odds with some of the demands that IT wants to provide, and you know, they want to work on the device that they're choosing ultimately. And some of the stats I've heard is, you know, I think the average maybe is 2.5 devices a person today. In a few years, it'll be close to 5 devices, and they're not all carrying around a Surface tablet or an iOS device. That there's heterogeneous devices, and for IT, this is a big challenge because you have historically separate teams that were managing mobility, you know, maybe separate Mac teams, Windows team. And even look at Windows, know, Windows today looks and smells and feels like a mobile device. If you look at the frequency of updates for Win 10, basically having the new modern ways to manage it. What this ultimately comes down to is IT and InfoSec need to move to a model of, you know, how can we manage the user as they're accessing these corporate resources anywhere and everywhere. And that just presents a new, it's a new way of looking at the world.
And so meanwhile, the team that was managing the Windows laptops, they're still wondering, well, okay, now they're getting through their Windows 10 migrations, and they're plenty busy enough.
To go back to something you said in the intro, though, so it's not just about the end user, right? You talked about whether there were stats around whether people are really more productive, right? But that old model of security, right, where you secure the network, ensured that people were kind of limited to working with their coworkers who were sitting at the desk next to them, right? But what we've really done is we've opened up the ability for people to collaborate more, right? And so now people aren't limited to working with employees sitting next to them, right? We're working with vendors and partners and customers and collaborating with them in ways that we never could do before. But that introduces more security challenges that we've got to work through, right? So. How do you measure that? I don't know, right? It's not just productivity, right? It's like, are we producing more with these other partners? So.
No, I wanted that stat of, you were talking to all the devices that traditional IT doesn't see because they don't show up in the network. But what about the number of users that are interacting with enterprise data that don't have entries in Active Directory?
So, Jack literally wrote a book on this several years ago and has been around this very specific area for a decade. So I want to use that knowledge base right now. Talk to me about what industry has tried to do to address this problem, what they're doing now isn't working.
Sure. Well, so I came in from one particular angle. We saw that, okay, so we have all these devices that are coming in and they're out of control, and what do we do about them? And one of the first answers was taking again sort of the device and perimeter centric model. You think, oh hey, mobile device management is coming along, so we can take that iPhone or that Android device, and we can turn it into an enterprise device. We can make sure that it has a passcode, we can make sure that it's encrypted, we can remote wipe it. Okay, well that solves, sure, that device is maybe secured in those particular ways now, but then there are a whole bunch of other different problems. You have these devices, hey, they have both work and personal data residing on them at the same time. So then we start thinking a lot about mobile app management. So let's shrink the perimeter from the device all the way just down to the app layer. But something else was missing there as well. We got the new devices solved, but what about the new cloud apps? And so then we realized, like, hey, as we're using all these cloud apps, Federation and IDaaS is sure a really convenient, it's clearly the tool that we need to do that. And so it was a multi-stage process of realizing that, okay, let's get a handle on these devices with MDM, get a handle on the dual persona aspects with mobile app management, get a handle on the cloud apps with identity management. And so now we've kind of, the groundwork for all that is in place, and zero trust or beyond port or post perimeter or contextual access or whatever you want to call it, is we're at a stage where we're taking all of those elements and bringing them together. And I'm really excited.
Brad, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was regarding the balance between user experience and security. And I'd be interested to get your take on how industry is balancing that, how industry is addressing ease of use so that there are security tools where the benefits are theoretical, and theoretical in the sense that if I turn off the password on my phone, then it's a theoretical because I can't be bothered with actually implementing that tool. How is industry doing making that balance?
That's a great question. So this is really important to my team. We spend a lot of time thinking about, like, if we build like all the bells and whistles into our security tool, and then people don't turn on that security tool because it's too hard to use, it's not a security tool, right? Because we haven't secured anything. So we spend a lot of time thinking about what's the right balance between user experience and security, right? And so, like you said, the Pew Internet Research Study says that 1 in 4 modern smartphones don't have a passcode on them, right? Which is crazy, because it's really hard to turn off the passcode on a modern smartphone. So, but people are really annoyed by it, and they're going and turning it off, right? So people care about user experience on their devices, go figure, right? So, so we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what is the right balance between keeping people productive and keeping data secure on their phones. And then we also spend a lot of time helping administrators figure out what that right balance is, because it's different for different enterprises and different uses, right? And so one of the things we've done is figured out how to implement a base layer of security by default for all of our customers, where device management works out of the box. You don't have to install anything on the device. The act of logging into Gmail gives you an inventory of the device, it enforces a passcode on the device, and you can wipe the account on the device, but you have no other rights on that device. And we made the decision to turn that on by default for all of our G Suite and Cloud Identity customers, because we thought that's a base layer of security that every one of our customers should have, and it has no impact whatsoever on the administrator, and no impact whatsoever on the end user, unless the end user doesn't have a passcode on their device. And we have been turning this on by default, and we get to have an administrator call us up and say, I'm really upset that you forced my end user to turn on a passcode when they're accessing my sensitive corporate data on their device. So the key thing I want to emphasize there is that we only have control over the corporate data on the device. It's the app layer that you were talking about, right? So we make no overreach onto device, any other information that's on that device. We're not in that business, right? That's not something that we want to do.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to add to that, the other thing we've done a lot of is just try to be very transparent, crystal clear to the end user, you know, what data is going to be collected, you know, it's going to be personal data. We literally have something called a privacy module that you can actually take and embed in other applications. You can create privacy as a service. And we've also tried to encourage really more of a carrot versus a stick type model. So essentially, you know, for letting companies configure certain levels of access to corporate resources that they're comfortable with without requiring, say, full enrollment in the device, so getting the device fully under management. And when they do want to access more sensitive corporate resources, at that point they have an incentive. So you're not shoving it down their throat saying you need to enroll your device in our management system. Rather, you know, they can take advantage of the fact that they can bring their device and enroll and they be able to do their job easier through that model of adaptive management. And you know, in that way we can also do things like, hey, if they don't have their passcode enabled, we can be very clear to the end user, hey, here are the steps you need to take to get your device back into compliance. You know, you can't keep pushing off those security updates because that'll put that corporate data you want to get access to at risk. So it's very much a partnership with the user in terms of privacy and you know, having them go getting through that enrollment.
Jeff, let me take advantage of you being the only non-vendor affiliated person here, proudly so. Is the industry getting better at this question? And specifically, get into specifics. How are they getting better? Who's doing it well? Who's not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's getting better in a lot of different ways. I mean, first of all, like the devices themselves. I mean, 10 or 15 years ago, encryption was something that you bought and had to have deployed. It didn't come with your devices. And you'd have like meetings to talk to your endpoint encryption vendor. But my device, all of our devices these days, like, you know, it just works, it's encrypted, and I look at it, or I put my thumb on it, and it just does its thing. So that user friction is decreased very much. And you can say the same thing about when we deploy Federation and single sign-on, that's a win-win. More secure and it makes the user experience better. So you know, you ask who's doing a good job with this. Any like any SaaS app provider that you know, their platform supports all the latest SSO standards in all the proper ways, or your client's app properly supporting Chrome custom tabs or Safari SSL authentication session, I believe it is. So all of those things are good stuff that's going on.
That was a very positive answer. Yeah, I'll be the
one. Okay, right. Yeah, you knew I was going to jump in.
Somebody has to. I think the other side to that is, I think the security industry as a whole has done a terrible job. And it's because if you go understand what got us here in terms of security, the security department has long been regarded in most enterprises as the department that says no to everything. And they have been empowered to do so, especially in the time when basically they had the castle walls around the company, and whatever happened on the inside of the castle walls was approved and whatever happened outside was not, right? But now in this new world where everyone is everywhere and there are no more walls, we have to enable so many more use cases for those users. And if you've built all of your products on the idea that you're just going to tell everybody no all the time, it's going to take a while for everybody to figure out that user interface and user experience matters way more than what you want to say no to. And I think, you know, RSA, the security big show, was about 5 weeks ago now. And walking the show floor, it's amazing how many parts of this industry have not figured out that the perimeter is largely gone, and network IDS is no longer going to save you.
Yeah, it's funny. VMware, actually, IT looks at this as, at the end of the day, what they're trying to do with regards to zero trust and the perimeter going away is they just want to be an ISP. They just want to offer internet access. And based on who you are, you get a very fine grain level of access to corporate resources. And that can be based on, you know, location and other, a bunch of other metrics and attributes. But to achieve that, it really comes back to, you know, InfoSec and IT. They need to be in very close partnership with each other. They need data flowing between each other. You know, otherwise they're not going to be able to do things like make real time access decisions based on irregular behavior, right?
Flag potential security threats, and that also comes back to privacy concerns because, you know, to enable that. Kind of hearing myself echoing a little bit, but to enable that type of model, you do need to understand employee behavior, anonymized to some point, to be able to see if there is a threat. I mean, something like 1/3 of threats, I think last year, or maybe even more than 1/3, were insider threats, were due to misbehavior with employees, and so you need to strike that balance, I think it's really about bringing those groups together.
There's another side of this too. So Google wrote the paper on BeyondCorp in 2011, I think. There's a white paper we wrote, and we've been working on implementing that model since then, right? So to the point where the source code for Google search lives out, you know, on the internet, right? And you access it securely, right? So it's taken us, you know, like, over 8 years, you know, to figure out, like, what are the processes we have to put in place to make seamless access work for all our employees, right, and not overburden our administrators, right? So we have a ton of, like, automation that we put in place to, like, detect, oh, it looks like this is a threat. Here's what we're going to do to kind of lock down that device. Here's how we can give our employees the ability to self-serve, to fix the problem if they need to fix the problem, right? And try to minimize the burden on the help desk, but still get people and keep them productive and keep them moving. And it's something that we worked on. I mean, I talked to the team about that because that's what we're trying to commercialize now. And so it's something they've worked on for a number of years to get to the point where it's kind of a science for us.
Let's, for a minute, stick with your negativity because it's fun and interesting. In the first question, I asked what was the most significant threat to enterprise, and you talked about, among a couple of other things, a lack of understanding of the new workplace or the lack of a workplace. You talked about walking around RSA and seeing a bunch of vendors who are
stuck in the past and aren't aware of, or at least seemingly are stuck in a perimeter world as opposed to a post-perimeter world. How does that happen? Why is the industry like that? How do you spend $30,000 at an RSA booth and still stuck in that world? Or is that something that is changing?
It's changing, but not fast enough. I mean, think about it this way. The desktop endpoint security market, and somebody here will probably correct my statistic, but it's somewhere in the $4 billion a year kind of range for Windows antivirus, basically. The vendors will give themselves special names, next generation Windows endpoint, but it's basically AV. There are many more mobile devices than there are Windows devices, but the mobile endpoint security market is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So multiple, 10 to 100x to protect all the Windows devices, which is now 25% of your network instead of 75% of your network. But if you think about most of the people who grew up in security, and most of us are old enough that I can say when we grew up, most of us grew up where there was a firewall, there was a perimeter, and all those controls are there, and you're used to buying those things, right? I'm going to buy the same things I've bought for the last 10 years, even though the world's completely changed. I'm going to do the same things I've always done, right? We're all human beings, and it's just cognitive bias that causes us to do the things we've always done at the expense of changing the entire way we operate. Nobody wants to do that.
That migration to new technologies is painful and expensive and complex and takes a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or more.
Well, I think it's going to take a decade from here, right? Yeah. You've been doing this for a decade, but I think we got another decade to get the security right.
When you look at RSA, and a lot of that messaging seems to blend together. You look at every booth talking about something to do with AI, machine learning, automation. You have all these tools that have their own policy engines, their own automation engines, and it's you can imagine if it's confusing for us to walk around, how is it for the customer?
And this is what I like about what Lookout's doing with this post-perimeter alliance, right? Is we have to help walk our customers to what tools they need to put together to make this work, right? And if we don't help them, show them how all of this works together, they're not going to figure it out. So
let me try the sunny side of life. Andrew, have there been any positive implications to this BYOD post-perimeter world, positive security implications?
Well, we've already talked a little bit about Google's done a great job here in terms of enabling single sign-on, getting rid of passwords. Who enjoys passwords, right? I'm sure we've all seen that XKCD comic around horse battery staple or whatever that is. So I think that's been great. I think actually that post-perimeter world will drive some of the changes in the industry that we need to cut through some of that noise. I think we've seen, I should say we have yet to see this, but I hope to see things like cloud access and identity start to come more closely together. I think that we've seen some standardization around tools and methodologies like Zero Trust and BeyondCorp. I think there's still more work to be done around how you seamlessly provide access. So, even beyond SSO, you're still doing things like requiring step-up authentication in many cases. We're still requiring approvals to go through multiple chains chains of approval that really shouldn't be required. There's a lot of reactive. I'm sorry, you told me you'd be positive. I realized I went back.
No, please.
I think there's a lot of positive vision for what we can become, but you still have companies really sitting on their heels in terms of, there's some incident, they respond to it, they try to tie some data together to make sense of it. They haven't fully automated their response because they're frankly in all these old processes that we've talked about, so they're not ready to respond properly. But if you look at the other end of that rainbow when we get there, if you imagine all those problems are solved, it'll mean, you basically, you're device starts acting up, you'll have a new one on your desk before you have time to call IT and complain about it, right? That's the direction where we want to go. Or, hey, if one of your employees accidentally, clicks on a malicious file, immediately quarantined, you're on a micro segment, you're not we've basically isolated the issue so that it can't spread throughout the organization, and that's all done in an automated fashion between IT and InfoSec, and that's really the goal of, that's where we will be, but it just will take some time. We're definitely not there yet.
I think there's another thing that we should slow down and take the credit for this, because I think it's important, but we take too much credit for this, so I'm going to undermine my own point at the same time. In that, if you think about modern operating system design and modern devices, we are doing a much better job of securing this stuff than we did, 10 years ago. There's SSL everywhere now. We can thank Google for that, largely, and we are doing a much better job. It is a modern iOS or Android device is, to compare that to Windows 2000 in terms of its hackability is almost laughable. But you have to realize we've bought into our success so much. The number of times I talk to people and they say, you can't hack an iPhone, or you can't hack a Pixel, it's not true. And we've done such a good job of marketing how secure these devices are that people have started to believe that they're impenetrable. And so we should take the win on that, but at the same time, we should realize we built the false sense of security to go along with it.
Well, so on the note of that being demonstrably untrue, I've seen you talk about, on the mobile threat landscape, the outsized presence of resourced actors. Talk about how that impacts this debate.
It impacts the debate a lot because so what Patrick's talking about, for those in the audience who haven't seen those talk tracks, I talk a lot about how the mobile landscape is different in terms of the types of actors who are attacking. If you think back to the history of security, when you think about the way hacking evolved in the traditional platform, it started out with the under-resourced attackers. It started out with this, the SQL slammers and the Code Reds and the NIMDAs that didn't really do anything and that were just basically spread around and didn't cause damage. And it evolved to cybercrime, and then it evolved to nation states. Whereas on the mobile platform, because the mobile platform is such a useful espionage tool, the nation states gravitated to it immediately. But what that means as an enterprise CISO is, if I'm expecting to see all this noise that I see on my network around Windows, you can still find SQL Slammer out in the internet in the wild, right? This stuff is always there. And if I expect to see the background noise, and then I go to the mobile platform and I see no background noise, my instant reaction from my own cognitive biases is, I don't have a problem. You do have a problem. You have a much bigger problem, because if it's the Chinese and the Russians and the intelligence agencies who are going after you, they're not going to make any noise. You're not going to notice them. You're going to have to work to find any evidence of them. And if your whole security model is, well, I'm going to just eliminate the noise and then I'll worry about everything else afterwards, you're not going to ever invest in it. And that's what we see a lot of, is just an underinvestment in that problem because they don't believe the problem exists.
Brad, I'm interested in, you've talked a little bit about privacy earlier. I'm interested in how the balance between employee privacy and management's demands for security, how that struggle informs your work. I guess the fundamental question is it possible to secure corporate data while keeping employees' privacy intact?
Sure. So one, it may not be the right assumption that that corporations are demanding more security. So the requests, I get more requests from our customers about how do I ensure that there's no chance I'm going to wipe someone's baby pictures on this phone, right? Like that's what I hear. Like, make sure that when I set this up, that I can communicate to my employees that I'm not going to overreach on this phone and that I'm not going to take liberties on the device that I shouldn't have. And so that I hear that loud and clear, not just within the bubble of the Bay Area, but from customers around the globe, that they don't want a device management tool that overreaches on BYOD devices. So that's the first thing I hear. The second is that, it's when you talk about privacy, what you need to talk about is transparency, right? So we have to make sure that every right that we get granted on the phone, we're very clear about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and let the end user make that decision, right? So my team spends a lot of time thinking about what are the right defaults, right? What do we think we should encourage people to use? How do we communicate that to the end user, right? And are we sure that the end user is going to get the message and they know what decision they are making? So in those cases where this is an organization that does need more security and they do want to take more rights on the device than maybe your average enterprise, are they communicating that in the right way so that the end user can make the decision that they want to allow that type of, you know, overreach on the device or whatever? So we're very careful about that. And the other thing that we do is we look at things and say, you know, there are some features that we see out in the market. And we look at them and say, is that something that makes sense for us, even though it's kind of generally accepted in the market as a feature that that other providers put out there? And we say, you know what? No, we don't think that that's something we want to do. We just don't do it. So, does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes. Jack, Mr. Independent, once again, I want to ask you, outside of the Google class vendors, how is the industry addressing that privacy versus security problem?
So there are two parts I want to go with this. One is a lot more pragmatism with regard to what type of use case are we talking about. At the whole beginning of this MDM and MAM and BYOD trend, we may have spent a lot of time worrying about, like, what if we get in this corner case where this end user, they really want to sideload apps on their phone and use an out-of-date operating system and not have a lock on their phone, and how do we make sure that our stuff is secure? Today, I was right there, you know, in 2012, I would have been telling you, like, well, so there's this mobile application management thing that's coming along. But today I'm much more pragmatic. I wrote an article last fall called "Sometimes It's Okay to Just Give Up and Have Two Phones." And if you look on if you look online, you can find cases that'll hold two phones. And even just anecdotally, even here in the Bay Area, I see the number of people that I see that have two phones is just as much as it would, just as much as it was a few years ago. But here's the thing: like, that doesn't mean that that's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It just means that we're a lot more pragmatic about it than we used to. And also that's a limited use case because there are also a lot of mobility use cases, extended enterprise, embedded devices, ruggedized devices, where we don't have this personal privacy versus security thing, because, like, this is an enterprise device. It has enterprise data on it. It's not a personal device. And at the same time, at the other end of the spectrum, there are other places where there's corporate data, where you know, it may be a contractor device or a gig economy worker device, where we know, hey, that phone or tablet, it's going to be whatever it is, so we have to figure it out. So what's happened is that the industry has become much more focused on individual use cases and more pragmatic about those use cases. Now within that, within that, like, narrow middle use case, there are some interesting things happening in the industry. How many are familiar with the game Fortnite? So the interesting thing about Fortnite is that the vendors of Fortnite decided to distribute it outside of the Google Play Store. And so for the last couple of years, we've been saying again and again, like, what's one of the things that you do to make your devices more secure? You don't sideload apps from third party sources, and suddenly this very popular application comes along, and suddenly we have a population of users that might not have been thinking about sideloading apps before, but we start to worry, like, what if sideloading third party apps becomes a thing again? And then that issue that we thought maybe for a while was behind us of, do we have to worry about, like, sideloading third-party apps? Like, suddenly that's something like Fortnite could make that issue come to the fore again. I'm sure all of you had that discussion, particularly when that came out.
Of course. Of course. But I think the genie doesn't go back in the bottle on a lot of this stuff. I mean, I remember a time, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I remember a time when companies would get up on a panel like this and talk about how they were blocking all internet access for all of their employees who wanted to do personal things at work, right? And I similarly remember a time in the 2006, 2007 timeframe where it was all the rage to block Facebook and Twitter and all of those things. And there were whole conversations about how do we keep our employees off of social media while they're at work? Well, guess what? We lost. Right? We didn't win that battle, and we're not going to win the battle with our users, especially as we more personally enable more things around their jobs. I don't think we're going to be, as much as we all might want to, and me as the security, you know, person that I grew up as, I absolutely want to be able to tell my users, don't you dare put Fortnite on any of our corporate devices. But guess what? They have kids. So I'm going to lose that battle. I have to figure out how to secure it, whether I like it or not.
And so that's one issue where... you know, that's literally something that brings that policy decision to a head. You know, an Android Enterprise work profile can, you'll have to help remind me with the exact version, that can say no unknown sources on the parent on the parent device. But in terms of balancing personal freedom and privacy, that's a pretty tough call for an IT department to make.
And we leave it up to the administrator to figure that out. But like you're, so to your point, right? So we used to say don't do personal stuff at work, but now we just say do work stuff at home because we've like
right, exactly
we enabled everything so people can work all the time, right?
Yeah.
Which is why in your opener you mentioned, well, I'm not so sure about right with BYOD. Everyone's got access all the time. And what does that mean? That's why you see all the platforms starting to invest in digital well-being, right? Starting to help people figure out when they're maybe becoming addicted to their devices and trying to help them like figure out how to disconnect. Android Work Profile has the ability to turn off all notifications. You can actually control. You can control that at the admin level if you want, that sort of thing. But one other
that's
thing.
So cool, by the way.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that. That's really.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. They're
I'm hoping other platforms for follow will similar functionality. Yeah.
And then, but the one thing I wanted to mention. So I haven't read your article, but the dual phone thing. I'm sitting here and I can't decide if that makes me happy or sad. Like on the one hand, it makes me happy that people are cognizant enough about these privacy implications that they're thinking about it and they're thinking I'm willing to carry two phones because I want to make sure that I have complete separation of my work and personal data.
That might just be a Bay Area bubble thing.
Right.
Maybe I need to
in DC. Right. No, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
but it makes me sad because there are solutions like Android Work Profile that I think are perfectly acceptable that when implemented right should alleviate those concerns. And so I think we as an industry are not doing a good job explaining that to people in a way that they understand it. So we're maybe not being transparent enough about what we're doing.
Yeah, and just a few comments on that. By the way, Android Enterprise is great. I actually only started using it recently, but was really confused because I was trying to launch a Google Maps for my calendar, and it was saying I didn't have a Maps app installed. And it really is that isolated from the rest of the operating system. So that was great. But to your comment on bringing work home, it's also a cultural thing. One of the interesting, we actually have customers in corporations in Japan that want to be able to track if their workers are working too much and prevent that, to your point on notifications. Yeah. Because it is a real issue here in other parts of the world. And this goes back to how to balance, the user experience side of things. And I think, we need to keep that in mind as we, enable BYO and enabling work anywhere and everywhere, but maybe not 24/7.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I think we all have some homework to do to read your article. I'm really curious about the how common it is to do something like carrying two phones. First of all, I think there are a couple of bubbles, obviously in DC, in SF. But are there places where it's not financially practical to do that kind of thing? Probably outside of a couple of cities. And I also would love to know. So, Andrew, I'm curious your thought. Brad kept on bringing up the concept of transparency. And the way in which I'm thinking of that is, do you think that employees understand this issue as much as they should? And is there something that the industry could be doing to improve that?
No, and I was mentioning earlier, we're extremely transparent with what's collected, and that's really helped. What also helped is changing our name actually from AirWatch to Workspace ONE. AirWatch was people saying, oh, they're watching us. No, but, you know, we'll take care of that. So that's one thing. You know, I think mentioned it's not about shoving these security requirements down their throat. You know, you need to guide them through that journey. You know, but at the end of the day, it's to some degree depends on the type of company, the worker, the environment. You know, if you have a bunch of contractors, for example, that are trying to access corporate resources in a financial environment, right? Maybe instead of trying to list out every single thing you're collecting, just deliver something like a virtual desktop or a virtual app through a virtual desktop, where it's really just a kind of a very temporary access to corporate resources, where there isn't a you can basically lock down, reduce the surface area to the point where there's not a ton of data collection you need to be confident you're delivering a secure experience. So really, I think it depends on what you're trying to do and you know, what the use case is.
You've been listening to Work Without Walls, The Price of Productivity in a Post-Perimeter World, with Patrick Howell O'Neill from Gizmodo. In conversation with Mike Murray, Chief Security Officer at Lookout, Brad Metter, Product Manager from Google, Andrew Levy, Senior Director of Product Management from VMware, and Jack Madden, Executive Editor of BrianMadden.com at TechTarget. This was recorded on April 9th, 2019 in San Francisco at Hawthorne Lounge. This podcast was produced by Lookout. For more information on our panel series, contact press@lookout.com.